Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julie. Hello.
Are you Julie or Christine Marie? I want to know.
I'm Julie. You're Christine Marie.
Hey, and Julie.
Yes.
Why did the marshmallow cross the road?
Why did the marshmallow cross the road?
Because there's more to life.
Oh, there's s'mores to life. Thank
you. Julie, why did the fox cross the road? Why did
the fox cross the road?
Free chicken.
Oh, because the chicken already crossed? Is that why? And see, now we're getting to that stage where it's that mind game where on one side of the, there's a farmer and he's got a fox, a chicken, and something else.
A bag of grain.
A bag of grain. Now, he can't, and he wants to get them all across the other side, but he can only take one at a time or two at a time.
I don't know that.
But you can't
leave. It's a mind game.
It's a mind game, because you can't leave more than, you can't leave the chicken with a bag of grain
right.
by
you
itself.
You can't leave
the fox with the chicken, because the chicken will get eaten by the fox.
Yeah. So how do you do it? It's a cone.
It's a riddle inside of an enigma. An enigma inside of another
inside
puzzle.
Of a Rubik's Cube.
Something like that. Yeah. You're moving all these pieces around.
But I really don't know the answer to this.
I don't either, but now I'm going to try and figure it out in 20 seconds. Yeah. Here's how it goes.
Go ahead.
Okay. So you can take two things in the boat at one time, but not three.
Right.
So let's say we take the chicken and the grain the same time.
Yeah.
Leave the fox by himself.
Yeah.
Okay. Take chicken and grain. I'm just going to leave the bag of grain there. Okay, I'm gonna come back.
Yeah,
pick up the fox. Bring the fox with me with because now I'm still have the chicken. Chicken's getting a ride of his life, going back and forth.
Yeah,
then I'm bringing the
fox over. He doesn't care about the grain.
He doesn't care about the grain whatsoever.
So he's over there with the grain.
Yeah.
Now you finally bring the chicken back
and we both go back. So that's how
you did it right. You did a good job.
I think that's how it works.
You did a good job.
You know, da da da. You know, it's funny. I've. What was it? We did some channeling with Padre Pio. He mentioned bullseye. A lot of things were going on with the word bullseye.
Yeah.
And I said after last week, I said, oh, you know what? I'm going to use simplify my program for food and dieting and the year after and all this stuff. Right now it's our, everybody's doing their, whatever you do.
The resolution.
Yes,
you mean?
That's it.
That word.
God. and also they started for me 2 weeks later, so that's kind of when I had enough endurance built up or enough whatever holidays
are
gone.
Being sick of the holiday food.
Right. And so I decided to just I'm going to give myself a bullseye every time I got a bullseye with my program. And my bullseye, my program would be if I just ate three meals a day, no mm-hmm. more, no less, mm-hmm. I could eat less.
And no snack.
No snacking. Yeah. And no sugar, no grains, no potato chips. Mm-hmm. Now, I can have one or two.
Did you add the no joy factor as well?
Well, that's exactly right. I gave myself a star for experiencing no joy. Or, I'll get to that in a moment. And so I no longer find food jokes funny. Like you said.
The marshmallow joke.
The marshmallow. Mm-hmm. S'mores. I'm like, oh, it would be lovely to have a s'more right now.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Sugar-free s'mores suck. Really do.
They somebody invented that.
You can buy anything with sugar alcohols in it. Mm-hmm. I'm not into that because it just goes right through me.
Well, see, that's part of it. It's the diarrhea you get after you ingest that sugar alcohol.
Right.
That goes through you. That's like 2 pounds.
Well, yeah. And it is definitely then, instead of associating chocolate and all that good stuff with joy and happiness and, oh, my serotonin and dopamine levels are being risen. No, you're associating it with 10 seconds of joy.
Followed by 2 hours of diarrhea.
Exactly. Followed by 2 hours of diarrhea.
Yeah.
So, it's just Douglas. I literally just got the phone with him telling him, do not call me. I'm on the radio show.
Yeah, doing
and
the radio show.
And he called me again. Well, you know what? Now I'm going to go break bad on you.
Yeah.
The next 20 minutes on the show, I'm breaking bad at you. I will text and say, is this an emergency? Because, and so forth. But I'm breaking bad on him. Mom, you talk to him. You say a few. Say another joke.
Another joke. Dang, why did the groundhog? No, why did the guinea pig cross the road? Because he did it to save the chickens. I don't know, something like that.
Oh, that was brilliant. That was brilliant. So let me break bad on Douglas right now. Can I bring bad news?
Yes, please.
Because I was listening to Adam Carolla, and he's talking to Pauly Shore. Mm-hmm. Pauly Shore. And he's got a fascinating life. You know, you think of him as this dorky, dumb comedian, right? But he's got this pretty, you know, in the 80s, he really made a ton of movies, you know?
Right.
I mean, for probably a decade.
Right.
He was like...
The man.
What's up, dude? You know, just the iconic Californian dude, right?
Right.
And so he was talking to him about having kids. And Pauly's like, I don't know if I should have kids. I'm in my mid-50s. If I wait any longer, I'm going to be an old dad, not just a kind of old dad.
Right.
And so forth. And he goes, why should I have kids anyway? I mean, I want to have kids, but then I have to have a wife to go along with that. I'm not sure if I'm all into that. And he goes, and right now I'm at that age where it'll take me a year to find a wife, a girl, another year to be married, and then we can have kids. You know, now I'm looking at 60 and having children.
Right.
I just don't know. Right. I don't know if you do it.
Yeah.
And then Adam says, you know what? Kids are all about 15 minutes of hassle a day. However, they give you at least 15 minutes of material for your show. And if you think of ego, you got to keep having a life.
If you think about kids as material,
yes,
for your show.
So I am at this moment going to use Douglas as fodder for the show.
Thank God.
For material for the show.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. And then also, too, because you always say you defend him way too much.
Well, I like to break bad on him a little bit. I like to bust his balls.
Yes,
I like to break bad because it feels like he just, you know, is overwhelming sometimes. And then I'll say something that I think is pretty funny, and you like defend him.
No, well, you say something that
I said this. Okay, he called this morning 6 o'clock. Do you have my car keys?
Yes.
Like, I'm like, Julie, why would you have his car keys? And you're like, well, I took him to get to the restaurant last night, and so he might have dropped his car keys in my car or whatever. Right. And so you know, listen, it's like, you know, it's 20 degrees. Right. There's like 6 feet of snow on the ground. You put your boots on. You know, you go out to your car. You're searching your car.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there's, you know, as far as you can tell, there's no car keys in here.
Right.
And so in the meantime, he's calling and calling. Have you found my car keys yet? And finally you go, I could not find your car keys.
Right.
And you said, have you really looked for them?
Yeah.
And then he texts you back when they were in my coat pocket. And I said,
yes,
Julie,
right,
as a mom, wouldn't that be the first place you might look for your car keys? Would be in your coat pocket? And he went, but Mom, you don't understand. He was in
that
car.
No, that is true.
Okay, you tell the true story.
I'll tell my version.
Okay,
my version is part of that is true. You're like, Julie, instead of making his girlfriend go out and look for his car, you think he would look at his coat pocket?
Yeah,
none of those are funny, by the way. That wasn't joking. They were like at a. I always take it as...
Okay, I have my tolerance level for him has been pushed.
Yes.
Because of the last 48 hours.
Right, I understand that. And unfortunately, because we live to cohabitate...
Yes.
And we enjoy all the perks of cohabitation...
We also enjoy all the cons of cohabitation.
And I don't know why, but I feel like at some point... Bill Cosby has used the word cohabitation in a skit. I don't know. It is a fun word, the way it rolls off your teeth, right? Cohabitation. 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 It is five syllables, and there's something sweet about this word.
Well, I'm sure that Bill Cosby is wishing he could be cohabitating right now.
Yeah, someplace else.
Yeah.
He's cohabitating with a lot of different men.
Oh, Jello.
And someone told me that he does have a Twitter account still. I'm like, how could he have a Twitter account and be in jail? But maybe they're...
That's interesting.
Maybe they're allowed to have Twitter.
Maybe they're allowed to do Twitter.
I don't know. That would be very interesting.
That would be wrong.
I think it would be wrong, too.
I personally... You know what? I'd have to really think about that. If someone said... Could a person in jail have a Twitter account? My first thought was, why not? But then I think, you know what? No.
Right.
But then again, I think, why not? Well, but then I think, no. So I am really on the fence on this one. I have to really debate this in my mind first.
What type of fence is it? Is it an
electrical
fence?
It's a picket fence.
It's a picket fence.
Right up your butt.
Got it.
You got to have that picket right up your butthole.
So you really can't decide. You can't move. You can't even sway back and forth.
No.
You are stuck there.
Yeah, I'm stuck.
Got it. I see what you're saying. Before the radio show started, I got you another coffee, right?
Yes.
And now I guess I didn't leave any for Normano because I hear him making some more coffee. So aggressively, too. He's like, wow.
You know what, though? I only heard a couple of, not really complaints, but people said, I did hear your dog barking all the way through your entire podcast.
And we commented, we're like, does Norm not understand this? What's going on?
Yeah. So yeah. I would hope now that, I mean, Elliot was barking the first part of the podcast. So let's hope that it's all peaceful now.
Well, we'll see. Well, if not, be more info, more content for the podcast for us to bicker and complain about. Because, you know, so I'm using Douglas
good
as
fodder.
Fodder as for information, as for content for this
material
podcast. Because, hey, I'm sure out there you can at least go, oh, yeah, I can understand this. So here's the first thing I'm going to complain about. It started about 48 hours ago. You're right.
48 hours ago.
He took off of work on Friday.
Right.
He didn't tell me he was going to take off work.
No.
And finally, by noon, I'm saying, how did you get so lucky to be able to go into work today?
Because he's been calling us all morning.
Yes. And calling us
and we've
about
got lots
medical
of errands to run. And
about medical health issues and so forth. He's not, which now I have a severe pain in my chest, which is wonderful. I know it's psychosomatic, but that's okay. So, he goes, I'm just unable to breathe. I can't take a deep breath. And now, on a different person, I may be concerned. But because of the fact I know that we've been dealing with this for months now, and he just got a clear bill of health from his cardiologist. His cardiologist basically just said, here's whatever you're experiencing is not a heart thing, and I don't want to see you again for 5 to 6 years. I mean, I don't have to see you again.
Go to the lung doctor.
Go to the lung doctor.
Yeah.
Okay. But he's had x-rays, so nothing glaring is popping out, like, you must go now today, you know, and so forth. So he got, on Thursday, clean bill of health. Friday, chose not to go to work because an employee of his didn't show up one day. And so that employee said, I'll work the whole day for you on Friday so you can have a day off. In Doug's mind, he fantasizes about having 3-day weekends every day of the week.
All the time. We hear about
wait to set my life to have a 3 or 4 day weekend every week.
Yeah.
Well, that would be lovely.
Because he had a 3-day weekend this weekend.
And I said, what are you going to do? Because when you have an idle time, it's not like you're cleaning your house or meditating or working out or doing or fishing
anything.
Or golfing or anything with an extra day
He chose to go into his medical portal.
Yes, his medical portal. And I won't stay specific on what it says, but there was a lot of big words in there. And that I think
And it's fraught with terror for him.
Yes, fraught with terror. He's like, did you know I have this? I go, this, I talked to my sister who's a nurse, and she says I'm going to die in a year.
No, 3 years.
1 to 3 years.
Yeah.
I go, well, that's not true. You cannot, I don't know how your cardiologist.
I told him, that's not going to happen because I got money on this. It's going to happen a lot sooner.
Yeah. If my mom has anything to say about this. He did mention, he goes, I had my palm read about 15, 20 years ago. And it did say I was going to be 88. So I go, well, then there you go. There it is. There it is. And
There you go.
You're on the right track.
That's definitive.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, he then says, okay,
That should be part of that joke, There should be the farmer trying to cross the little river and should have a palm reader in the boat with the chicken.
If I die before you are allowed to put on my gravestone, oh, P.S., her palm reader said she'd outlive us. We want our money back.
Burn.
Burn. We want our money back.
Well, our palm reader in Dixon, Illinois, went out of business.
Yeah.
Should she predict that?
I have to tell you, I fucking adored her for doing that, for putting two places up.
Yeah.
Two locations. And maybe it was like a pop-up. Like, this is just how they work.
Yeah.
They come in for a year or two. They open up. Everybody in town who wanted to have a palm, their palm red or, you know, got red. Done.
Yeah.
And it's weird because I
That's your business model. Come in, stay a year, go out to another town.
A pop-up store. You know, I get it. And then if you do that, you're not committed to anything. And you don't have to feel so bad. Like if it doesn't last 5 or 10 years.
No, I think it's sort of that gypsy model.
Yeah.
Like people come in, you know, we're going to be here in town. We'll do your driveway for you.
Right.
And then the first rain, oops.
Well, and it's interesting because I've had, the course of my life, I've had my palm read. I live with a psychic mother, and I've had my numbers done. I've had my chart charted. I've
Did you just say you sharted?
I sharted, and here's how I see it, because I believe in it sort of enough that it's like looking through your future or your life with really dense fog.
Well, you know that one business that we had that we closed up?
Yes.
The psychic said, that's going to be your bread and butter business.
Yes. I go, yeah. And what she really meant was, for the next 3 to 4 years recovering from that business, I'll have to live on bread and butter. Yes.
That's what she meant.
That's what she meant. And butter, mostly margarine.
Yeah.
You'll be living on white bread and margarine for the next 20 years to pay for that.
From the outlet shop.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's like, it's all there.
Yeah.
All the information is there and truthful. It's not quite tweaked enough for me to get the information. And then unfortunately, there have been things I've had hits on that, oh, sorry, guys. We have coffee. I know. It's okay. Okay, we are back. There might have been a little bit of a break for everyone because Mom had a little bit of a coughing spell. And as she said, the bug went down her nose or something like that.
Down my throat.
Down the throat. Right. Wrong way. You know, we all have that happen. It all happens. Okay, so anyway, back to Douglas and the saga that he created for 48 hours straight. And I was feeling, you asked me, well, how is he physically doing? He's physically fine.
Mm-hmm.
I go, nothing he has is in crisis mode right now. And it's just, hey, we're all getting older. We all have chronic things going on. I said, but he's on this emotional train that is going just around the circle.
And as a therapist, that's the thing that was getting to me.
Yeah.
I witnessed this getting... you know, worse and worse.
Yeah. And of course, your voice is getting a little bit froggy too.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and it's interesting because these are the, I really believe that mental health can be treated. Like we should look at it as a treatable thing.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. And so when people are in this moment of emotional pain, I'm like, okay, this can be treated, but I also know it's the hardest thing to treat because there's no concrete way of treating it.
Well, I also know Doug.
Yeah.
And you met him at the emergency room because I really wanted him to go. I didn't think that he was going to be treated for whatever he thought he was.
Right.
I think he needed to get some kind of Thorazine or something that he needed to break this pattern of like a circuitry of thought that was just freaking him the hell out.
And we're talking about him only in the sense of that he's freaking us out. Right. It was 48 hours of like, oh my God, this is
calling,
horrible
calling,
for us.
Calling,
you know,
calling,
nothing gets
calling.
Done then in our lives.
Yeah. We had lots of stuff to
do. Yeah, I know we did.
You know, as treasurer of our utility district.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had things that had to be out by Friday at 6 p.m.
Yeah, and didn't get done. So, you know, they get, you know, but it's like, so like shit goes down and like everybody else's family, right? You do your best and then somebody in your family, something tragic happens or crisis happens and everything has to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then at some point you're going, this could have just been averted. Mm-hmm. If you just would have gone to fucking work.
That's exactly right.
If you just would have gotten your ass to work.
If he just would have gone to work, that it would have been averted because he would have been distracted enough. But somehow with his, you know, brain, it went deeper and deeper and deeper. And none of us could say anything. And his bros, he has these bros, like five of them, that they text each other all day long.
Right.
Which is amazing because one's a teacher, one's an architect, they all have jobs.
Right.
But they literally text each other all day long. But all his bros are, spiritually minded. Mm-hmm. And so, and he's talking to them, trying to get some comfort.
Right.
And they're all telling him that he needs to find religion.
Right.
Because he's telling them, I'm going to die. I think I'm going to die.
Yeah.
I'm reading my portal and I'm going to die. And they're saying, yeah, you probably are going to die and you better find God.
Right.
And he's like, this is the man that is the king of, what does he call it?
Spaghetti God.
Spaghetti God.
Yeah. That's,
I don't know how.
He's an atheist.
Yeah.
And he's not a Sam Harris Penn Teller atheist.
No, he's a really unattractive atheist.
Okay. Jesus Christ. I swear to God. I swear to God. You think you're just attacking Doug, but you're really attacking me. But that's okay. Because
I get
subtext
it.
Is always like, how could you be attracted to this?
No, I just meant it was an unattractive atheist, because like Sam Harris, I believe that, you know, as much as I enjoy him,
right,
I believe I can see how he got there,
right?
I just don't see how Doug got there.
Right.
Does not Doug gets there like this: the world is so unfair, how can there be a God?
Right. Or yes, exactly.
I think that's how he got there.
Right. And I've asked him, and he hasn't really
like,
come up.
Or like, if the world was really, if there really was a God, I would be rich right now.
That's
and
probably
be able
true.
To have 3 or 4 day weekends.
And be okay with it.
Yeah.
And not be crazy and drive everybody else crazy,
right,
and so forth.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, that's just not going to happen.
That's all I meant by unattractive.
There you go. And so,
I'm sure everybody's hating me right now. Like, oh, man. You know, Chrissy Maria is like busting Julie's balls.
No, not. No, come on, no. That this is what I mean. Hey,
cohabitation,
exactly. But also, you don't think I'm in part of? You don't think that I've been in part of those texts to him and his bros a couple times in my lifetime? I'm sure I've been definitely the, you know, the lead line of like, where's Julie at? Why doesn't Julie do this for you?
Right.
Or what's going on with Julie? She can't do this.
Yeah, exactly. Why are you bugging us when, when you have this woman in your life?
Yes. And I'm like, yeah, he missed that boat.
Well, not only that, but you are a wonderful coach. And really, you do good psychotherapy. For a layperson.
Yeah, exactly.
You do.
For a layperson.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what I put on my shingle.
Yeah. I like to get laid as a person.
Exactly.
But he does not listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
You could say pearls of wisdom, but it wouldn't mean a damn thing to him.
Yeah.
It has to come from his bros or
himself somehow.
Something.
Right.
Something from left field. Usually.
But not from me.
Are for me.
Right. And I understand that. And so I compartmentalize. I'm like, okay, you know, and so forth. But gratefully last night or yesterday, as we're in the parking lot
of the emergency room.
And I'm looking at it, goes, well, I'm feeling a little better right now. And I'm like, yeah, I'm looking at you. There's no crisis going on for emergency room stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but here's what's going on. My mom has told me that I need to get your ass to emergency room because you need to stop this. I go, so I'm either either we go in or I'm calling my sister-in-law and we're at least going to get some kind of figure out a plan here.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, well, I don't know if I feel worse enough to go in the emergency room now. I'm like, yeah, you don't. I go, however, you are,
but
I go, you
all
feel-
night long. 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, calling.
Yes.
Should I go to the emergency room? Can you come over? Let's take me to the emergency room.
Right.
So finally, at 6 o'clock in the morning or 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock in the morning,
right,
you meet him at the emergency room. Mm-hmm. And you've got work to do and appointments and all this stuff. But of course, we're go ahead.
And I guess the thing is that it's not because we all knew this was not a bad thing.
Correct.
He's not sick. He's not dying. Nothing's going on.
Right.
But he got a hold of medical diagnosis, and then he got a hold of the internet, and then all of a sudden the world became circling around him and his issues.
A rabbit hole.
Yes. And you know, then you go, you know what? Yang.
Damn you, internet.
Well, I think President, not candidate Yang, isn't that his name? Should you know, should make all the tech companies pay for our healthcare because they're the ones causing all of our stress and healthcare issues anyway. So, I mean, let's be real.
Love it.
I mean, they say that he goes, listen, these guys are making tons of money off of you anyway.
Yeah.
They should chip.
Selling your information.
Yes. So let's put a little bit of money into the kidder for, you know, for healthcare. I'm thinking, literally having the internet did not cause Douglas joy. It caused Douglas pain for 48 hours.
Yeah.
And then gratefully, I was able to call my sister-in-law, and she just said, listen, these two diagnoses here mean nothing. But
she's an ER, yeah, ER physician.
Yeah, she's an ER physician. She says, these are, you've been already cleared, you know, 3 days ago. What these are just, you know, and literally like one term was like had the word aneurysm in it, you know, and it's like, it means, listen, it could be like a little blurb or it could be a big hole. Well, obviously it's a little blurb and that means nothing. And all these things are decades in the making and decades in correcting and decades in coping with them. And I go, oh, good. So, and that's just how life is, right?
Mm-hmm.
At some point, all the small decisions we've made catch up to us. All the small, you know, all the ways we didn't quote unquote live our best lives, you know, at a certain point now we're like, oh, now we, you know, instead of our oxygen levels being at 99, they're now at 96, or, oh, I have to take a blood pressure medicine or whatever it is. And so, you know, he's at that stage where, and mostly where it's at is that he doesn't have a belief system or a thought process to let him live without drama during this part of his life.
Mm-hmm.
We're all there. We're all going to get there. Mm-hmm. We're all going to be at a place where, hey, maybe knowing too much of shit is not healthy for us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you were listening to Bruce Lipton over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about all the trillion organisms inside your body, the cells.
50 trillion.
Yes. And how each cell works like an economy in itself, in and of itself.
Correct.
And which I found interesting because we were doing second dimension work, and her name was Clow.
Barbara Hanclow.
And Barbara Hanclow does a second dimension meditation connecting with the organisms inside and outside of your body.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, so, you know, it's funny how we were hearing both these ideas and concepts and so forth. And then they were connecting the terminology with medical proof that was going on or scientific proof that was happening right now.
Yes.
Yada, yada, yada. And so what I've been with Doug for a long time, almost 20 years, or maybe it has been 20 years. It's my job to be an example for a person I want to be. Hopefully he can figure out a way to have a belief system to live through this, to not drive everybody fucking bonkers. Because
mm-hmm.
at some point, we won't answer the phone anymore.
Yeah. Here's where I want to clear myself, because I feel like I'm coming off as the evil one. What I really did want him to go to the emergency room because I felt that they would give him some kind of medication to stop this thinking.
I'm not sure they would have done that. But they might have. I don't know. But that was your point, because that would be the emergency. You felt that was the emergency.
That was the emergency.
Yeah.
That he was in such a rabbit hole that he could not get out. He couldn't sleep. He wasn't allowing himself to sleep.
Right.
And he was, I mean, you had talked to his daughters and I think you said, how many times did he call you? And
yeah,
they said four or five times each. And
right.
And so, and his bros, he had been calling. So, I mean, his sisters. And I also think that he did call his one sister who was in Thailand or something now, and she's a pharmacist. And she said, oh, you know, there's medication for this. I've seen it a million times. I mean, he was just trying to get some relief, and he couldn't. And I just felt like there'd be a medication that could just knock that thought process out.
Yes.
Even if it was for 4 hours.
Right.
You could, that's maybe enough to get rebooted.
Right. Exactly.
That's all I wanted.
There are times I have the last 4 weeks for me are like, I feel that I have been going through this weird thought pattern in my life, just feeling like twerking downward into rabbit holes, into lack, into just a circular thought pattern.
Right.
And, you know, I don't want to. You guys probably can relate to this. You think it's good to share your inner thoughts with people. And then at some point, when you say what you really think, what's going on, you're like, oh, that might not be what I really think. And bang, I don't think I should have said that. Or I don't think I should have shared that. Mm-hmm. Because now it's out into the universe. Mm-hmm. That can be repeated.
Yeah.
I would like Doug to think that way. Because I would like Doug to take a beat or a moment and going, you know what? This thought pattern really isn't true. Mm-hmm. Or doesn't need to be shared out into the world. Mm-hmm. What would happen if I didn't share it out to the world? Mm-hmm. What if I just take one moment and look for my keys once more time before mm-hmm. I made this huge upset in everybody's life? Mm-hmm. And we say huge upset. It's not a huge upset. But when you think about it, like I said, before the show started today, I already called him. I said, hey, I'm going to be out of commission for the next hour. Do not call me.
And how long was the show on before he called you?
5 minutes later.
There you go.
And that's when I said, well, then you know what? You broke the rule, mister. Now I'm breaking mine.
Yeah.
You're going to be talked about for the next half hour. because we need to get it out. We need to let it out and so forth.
Yeah, a little bit.
We'll see, you know. And so there it is. And I doubt that it is over. Because I know that I have to go to work tonight. Mm-hmm. And I will be 300 miles away, mm-hmm. and
he'll be calling.
He will have to deal with whatever he needs to deal with, mm-hmm. not on his own, because he'll have his daughter.
That's
he's
right.
going to be moving
that's
in
right.
with
Quinn's
him.
Moving in. That's
yeah.
Right.
So I mean, he won't be alone.
Right.
But I guess the older I get, the more I realize is that this is a natural turn of events. Mm-hmm. We are mortal human beings. Which I smile when I say that, because I used to have a client that says, I'm only a mortal human being. I'm like, yeah.
She would say, I'm only a mere mortal.
I'm only a mere mortal.
And that's why I'm on, what was it, sugardaddy.com?
Yes.
And
I need it. I need my sugar daddy.
I need my sugar daddies.
Yeah, exactly.
We're like, okay. And that's pretty self-empowering. I got some Louboutins from him.
Yeah. I appreciate that. I wish I had any kind of confidence for that or any kind of desire for that.
Yeah.
My desires are so turned down right now. It's like,
I know.
But I feel like I have a wonderful life.
I heard Marianne Williamson talk about, mm-hmm. She was being interviewed by Penn Jillette, and she was saying that with the 2016 election, and she felt that the reason that Trump was elected, because people were really angry inside, that there was just something festering in them about fairness and just anger. And somehow that's how, you know, a personality like Trump squeaked through.
Yeah.
Because we were angry.
Yeah.
And she said, right now with this election, she goes, I think he probably will win, but I don't know, she said, because when the people that I talk to right now, they're not angry anymore. They are exhausted.
Yeah.
They are just exhausted. They're choosing not to turn the CNN on or MSNBC or Fox. They
right.
just are choosing to not go down the rabbit holes of the
yeah.
medical portals or news, any kind of media. I mean, maybe they just want to binge
yeah.
watch something fun.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
Schitt's Creek. But I think there's something about 2020 that as we are reassessing things, there just is some kind of exhaustion. We're tired of intermittent fasting. We're tired of keto. We're tired of not having any bread. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been like having a slice of bread.
Yeah.
Every meal.
A good bread.
Because I'm enjoying it right now.
Yeah, good bread.
Fuck like you people. Fuck you. But, you know, there just is this sense out there that I'm just tired. I can't even have road rage
right.
anymore.
Right.
You know, I don't care if you're concealing and carrying. I just can't care anymore.
No, like I don't care if you cut me off.
Yeah.
I don't care.
No.
I'm desensitized to it all.
Yeah.
And really what I want to do
good word.
Is I want to just close off every portal.
Yeah.
everything, shut it all down.
Shut it all down.
And just go, okay, now let me just sleep here for a while.
Yeah.
And let me have a little peace.
Yeah.
Let me not be drawn into anyone's drama.
If I was Dorothy, I would want to be asleep in the poppy field for a little while right now.
For a little while.
Yeah.
Until you get recharged or until you're bored. Until you're like, okay, now I'm bored. You know, now I need to move on. I need some kind of stimula.
But everything has changed, though. You know, I don't know exactly how to say this, but because we, I don't know, it was 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, you know, the word was transparency.
Right.
Oh, we're transparent. You know, car dealerships became transparent. Mm-hmm. Literally anything that you can imagine has this air of transparency. So now what happened was you know, like the little millennials, they're going to be sitting on their sofa and looking at their phone and buying a car.
Right.
And having it, you know, delivered from the car vending machines to their driveway. Because everything's transparent. You know, in the old days, it felt good to kind of haggle.
Right.
You know, in the old days, you could, you know, maybe buy a house and you could put some equity, and everything, and maybe make some profit. But now, you go to Zillow or Realtor.com, and they're going to tell you, they will tell the people exactly what you paid for that house.
Yep.
What the people before you paid.
Yep.
Well, and so there is no secrets or no benefits anywhere.
Yeah,
something about that has taken a little bit of the magic out of life.
Right.
You know, like I heard on, I was watching HGTV yesterday morning, and people were looking at a house for $190, and they said, oh, you know, they were asking $190, we got a great deal on it. And I'm like, oh my God, I wonder, because I would have thought maybe $160 or $150. She said, no, we paid $188 for
it. We got $2,000 less than asking.
I'm like, you know, what happened in the world?
Yeah.
What happened with this transparency thing that took all the fun? Everything is just nothing is nothing anymore.
Everything's just nothing.
Sorry.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Well, no, everything, that's what it feels like. Everything's nothing.
Yeah.
And you go, what is going on in the world? And then you think, okay, how do I create a life of expansion and also of surplus, I guess? Because it does, and maybe
that was the word that came to you this week.
Yes. And maybe that word is no longer, maybe surplus for the majority of us shouldn't be used. If, you know, I remember.
Can I say something real quick? Because Bruce Lipton used that word. I don't know if you knew that or not.
What did he use it as?
Well, he was talking about, you talk about the 50 trillion cells in the body. And he said that each cell takes care of itself.
Right.
So once it's healthy and once it has everything it needs, it takes the surplus and puts it in, I don't know where it stores it in the body.
That's right.
So when the body is sick, it draws from that surplus and not from the cells to make you sicker. So, I mean, we are meant to have some kind of
surplus.
Yeah, exactly. That we can draw from.
Right.
So when things happen, and like even in the body, they do.
Right.
You know, we've got that surplus so that we are not, you know, drained.
Right. Right. Well, that's interesting because I certainly feel like I don't see the surplus in my life, per se.
Yeah, that's what you were saying.
You know, and I think people are just getting tired. I think people are, I think people are getting tired of the bullshit of the marketing, the perpetual marketing being marketed to. And,
oh, yeah.
And you're just like, oh, okay, oh, here's where the bullshit's at.
Yeah. You're always, no matter what you go into, it doesn't take you too far down the rabbit hole before you hit the BS and the marketing.
Right.
And it's funny, Norm went into Dollar General yesterday, and the guy before him wrote a check. And she I don't know how she vetted him, but at the very end she said, I need your driver's license. He said, well, everything went through. Why do you need my driver's license?
Yeah.
She goes, Don't worry. This is Dollar General. It doesn't make sense. If it doesn't make sense, that's what we do at Dollar General. And Norm went, I kind of had this weird feeling because here was an employee of Dollar General.
Dollar General.
You know, this and Dollar General.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, but I think it's part of, I'm sure this person is like, hey, I work at Dollar General and I'm on the fast track to managerial.
Yeah.
Going to be a regional manager of all the Dollar. No.
No.
I just live two blocks down. I walk to work.
Yep.
I take my smoke breaks.
Yep.
And text for 10 minutes.
Exactly.
Every 2 hours. I don't really know.
I'm not thinking too much. No. I know exactly what this is at and so forth.
Yeah. Exactly.
Very interesting.
And I think that's the kind of, at least where we live, you know, I think that's the kind of exhaustion that we see. People are just like, yeah, I don't know. I don't have an end of the line here. I don't know where the silver lining is.
Yeah. And I think, I think people
Where's
are exhausted of exhausted from social media sites.
Yes.
Exhausted from looking at people's Snapchats or Facebooks.
Yes.
And it's like,
yes,
we're all supposed to be engaged with each other now and we feel less connected than ever.
Yeah.
And less happier and less fulfilled.
Yeah.
And yet.
Aren't you tired though? I go to Facebook. And I don't even, sometimes I go to people I don't even know.
Yeah.
And I just look at their, and it's all these smiling faces.
Yeah.
Right in the camera. I'm smiling. And then I told you, I saw this, was following this one family, and he was doing flipping houses.
Mm-hmm.
And he was going to show people how to virtually flip houses, whatever that meant. And then I read a lot of the comments after this 30-minute YouTube thing on how to do it. And people were saying, you know, I'm a pharmacist, but I'm 75 years old. My assistant took $1 million somehow out of me. So I'm going to be working. It'd be great to know how to flip homes to get some extra income.
Right.
And I was just reading all these people that were hopeful. And so somehow I got into this guy's Facebook account and it was just like happy, happy, happy. And then there was a picture of his mom on her deathbed and he was laying in bed with her. And it was, she really, I know the face of death.
Right.
It's, you know, and she either was dead or dying and he was laying in bed next to her taking this fucking selfie.
Yeah.
And I thought, you bastard.
Yeah.
You know, listen, I know that she's in a better place.
Right.
Or she doesn't care, hopefully.
The first thing you called me in right away.
I called you and
said,
I said,
I swear to God, I will fucking haunt you from the grave.
That's right.
Haunt and hunt you from the grave if you take a selfie from and put it on Facebook as I'm dying.
Yes.
You know.
Exactly.
I go, I will kill you.
You did. I said that for sure.
You said that.
I said, you do not have my permission.
No.
You can get into bed with me.
Yeah.
You can love me all you want.
Yeah.
But you
no selfies will take place.
Don't you dare. And even if you took a picture, don't post it.
Yeah. That's weird. That was weird.
It was weird.
Yeah.
And all the comments were like sad faced emojis, emoji tears. And people were saying, so brave.
Yeah.
So brave of you.
Yeah.
You know? And I thought, I'm wondering if that poor mom.
Yeah.
You know, is that what she wanted of her last moments on earth to be spread forever onto Facebook?
To have the 5,000 of his closest friends look at him and go, oh, he's a good son.
Yeah,
he's a good son.
That's look at me. I'm a good. Look at me.
Yeah.
I don't
we
know.
We are walking this very interesting web.
It's absolutely messed up. It really is. And you know, I don't remember what it was, but there's just you're like, do you want to have that as a so you're let's say you're applying for a job and they're like, oh, I want to go to your Facebook account and see, and then they see that you took a picture of you and your dead mom, you know, and you're like, I wouldn't give you that job.
No,
I wouldn't trust you.
Well, it's very interesting you say that, a social media site for getting a job. I know a lot of people who do that and who look at social media sites to find to see if that person's worthy of a job or not.
Especially if are they in alignment with their resume?
Right, that could be.
Because I'd like to know. Like, let me see. Oh, look at your resume. Looks good. Let me look at your social media.
Yeah.
Let me see your Facebook.
Well,
page. I want to see your Instagram.
And yet, if you saw my Facebook page, it would be erratic.
Yes.
I don't think I've posted on mine in years.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
And mostly because
I used to.
Yeah. Well, we still post on ours.
Yeah.
But and through Christine Marie and Julie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also on our Snapchat, or excuse me,
Instagram
through Christine Marie and Julie. Yeah. And that's fun.
Yeah.
I really have it as a fun page. I do not have it as like a daily.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And I remember.
I like the fact, like, I was watching Schitt's Creek the other night, and Alexa's boyfriend said, you know, how did you like that one thing I gave you? And she goes, oh, the empty book? Mm-hmm. And he goes, well, it's a journal. And she goes, oh, I didn't know. I just thought it was an empty book. I didn't know. I go, that's pretty interesting. Yeah. They make empty books nowadays.
Yeah, that's great. I love it. Like, no, the journal. Does she like it? Does she want to start writing in it? I'm glad that you've loved Schitt's Creek. Yeah, yeah. Schitt's Creek. I love that you love that. It's a good show. It's a fun show. It's quirky.
20 minutes.
And I'm still enjoying San Clarita Diet.
Yeah.
I've actually gone back from starting the beginning because I know we're at the third season.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know what it is? 22 minutes of just
fun. Yeah.
You no laugh. Big deal. I'm not taking anything seriously. Mm-mm. I love Drew Barrymore. I love Timothy Oliphant. Yeah. I mean, like, these are good people. These are great people. Yeah. I'm enjoying myself.
Yeah.
Can't beat it, you know, and so forth.
You know what's sad about Timothy Oliphant?
They 6'1"? Is it a tall glass of water? Or they short?
Tall drink of water.
Tall drink of water.
Not a glass of water.
Tall glass of water. It's not? Are you sure?
I'm 100% sure.
Okay, was it a tall drink of water?
Yeah.
Or is it that he's shorter than Joel McHale?
Well, here's the thing. I've seen Timothy on Andy Cohen and what's happening live and other places, and he is such a doll baby on this show.
Yeah,
you think he's like so funny and he's boring on shows. And you know, for whatever reason, that pisses me off. I want you to be
as bright and shiny on
as your
screen
character.
As your, yes.
Yeah. And see, Schitt's Creek cast, because it's their last season, they were on Andy.
Yeah.
And no. I mean, Daniel is every bit as fun as his character, I think. But the other ones were, no, this is a job we do. Come on.
Right.
I'm here and I'm saying hi, but I'm not my character.
Right.
Don't confuse me.
Right, right, right.
I want to be confused. I want you to be your character.
I'm okay with them being their character.
I love your character.
Yes. Yes. I want to hang out with you and your character. I want to hang out with your character.
Yeah.
You, I could kick your leaf.
Exactly.
But your character, I love your character.
Like, I feel like this. You know, on, what is it, Millionaire on HGTV? Where they go and
I
want to
buy your lottery house or
my lottery dream home.
That's it.
And like David, I want to hang out with David.
Right.
And I want him to be his character that I see. This lovely big gay guy.
Right.
I want to hang out with him. I want him to be my best friend.
You want to win the lottery just so you can make, you know, have him come by.
Yes.
And like, let's go house shopping.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
That would be lovely.
I want him to be my friend. I want him to sit in my front porch with him. And I want to do therapy with him.
Right.
I want to go, you know, tell me your story. Tell me your life.
Yeah.
David. You know,
and I love how you call chatting therapy. I would like him to sign up for a therapy session with me. I want to know his deepest fears.
I do. I want to know his deepest shit.
Surface crap.
And I want him to go like, oh my God, Christine Marie, me and you are besties.
Yeah.
I want to tell him if an outfit looks great on him.
Yeah.
I want him to tell me if I'm in the proper lighting.
Right.
Like, oh, Chris, that takes 20 years off your face. You know, I'm like, okay.
There you go.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, David.
Yeah.
But the only thing I don't like about David,
for
me personally, because he's a very cute man, attractive.
Yeah.
On screen, he has a very open personality. I really enjoy his personality. The tattoos are a little distracting for me because he is tattooed up. Now, I know you like a man with a good tattoo.
Yes,
you
do. And they are good.
They are good, but they are up and down arms, up and down legs.
Neck.
He is, and it doesn't match his personality per se because he is like, he is a bright sunshine, you know, in a darkened world. But his tattoo.
That's my David.
That's your David. Now, then you said to yourself, you said, well, it's interesting because every David you know, except for one, and we're not sure about that, is gay.
Yeah. That's my theory.
Yes.
Is that we end up sounding like our names. Like David sounds Gavid.
Yeah.
So, and that David's gay.
Right.
And then there's Norm's brother's David, who's gay.
Yes.
And who's the third one I said?
We said from Schitt's Creek. David. Gay.
No. Oh, yeah, he's David. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's David Rose.
His character's gay.
His character's gay. And he's openly gay in real life.
Yes.
Not closely.
Now, so that was, we're going to take that idea to this natural conclusion. Your name is Christine. You know, are you pristine? Kind of.
We kind of see now you're getting to that place where we go, you know, like that we should be named for our farts.
Right. Exactly.
Like, you know, like the long farts.
Yeah.
You know.
Instead of Longmire, it'd be long
Bartholomew.
Yeah.
Well, Gregorio.
We want your farts to actually say your name. So yes. It claims it.
And
describe also what you had.
It should sound like what you ate that caused it.
Exactly.
Enchiladas.
Well, it's funny because this morning you were, or was it last night? I came home and you had some tooters going on.
Yes.
And that was surprising to me because you don't usually toot. And or at least not, I don't hear it. And then you like, yes, that's me, because we had been talking about farting so much over the course.
It.
So you had to own it,
yeah,
and be proud of it.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, that was me, people. I'm not sure why, but I am now joining the club.
That's
of
another
owning
thing
it.
That you know that this transparency movement has caused.
Yes,
is that now we have to own our shit too.
Yes,
and then that makes us brave.
Makes us
as
brave.
Well. Oh, she owned it.
Right.
She's owning her farts.
Makes us brave.
Oh, she's so brave.
Exactly. I love it.
As opposed to, again, letting the dog take it.
Exactly. I'm all for, I saw, we both watched this one, My Dream Lottery Home or whatever. He said, you gotta watch this one. My David said that it's the best one he ever wrote. The couple was so nice and happy. And it was funny and cute because the woman, I don't know how old she was, but she had an adult daughter, like in college.
Mm-hmm.
So she was most likely in her early 40s, I'm mm-hmm. guessing, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a look of a 50s housewife.
Right.
Petticoats, apron,
she
hair up.
She loved June Cleaver.
Yeah, she was a waitress by day. But she bought in and like went all in, as I would say, balls deep in this look.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
and every
she
look
did.
And I said, I go, I appreciate the fact, and this is not my look.
No.
This is not something I
petticoats.
Would, no.
And little tiny short sweaters. It's kind of like the Mad Men era.
Yes. And she was
the
all
housewife.
In. The
yeah.
housewife.
Yeah,
not the one going to work.
No, oh no.
You know.
The housewife
not the
from
smart
the Mad
secretary
Men
that runs
era.
The whole show.
Right.
No. You know. That's it's the one staying at home cooking and so forth.
Yeah.
You know, she's a waitress by day. You know,
yeah.
She was Flo. She's
yeah.
you know, and so forth.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that she was all into her look and it looked good on her. It wasn't my look, but it was a look. And I think to myself, I would be attracted to look at her. Like if I was going on the street, I would stare at her for a split second or two to go, whoa, what's going on here?
But you understand too, like you said, the girl that works at the bank at Walmart.
Yes.
There are people that we do know in our daily lives that actually have a look.
Have a look.
And they do not divert from that look. And it's not like they, because they have to wear the uniform from the Midas muffler place. No.
Right.
They actually have a look. And you were telling me that the banker lady.
Right.
She has a very...
She has a masculine look. Like, she's going for... She's a woman, and she's dressing like a guy, but she's not... I don't know specifically her gender or her sexuality. Nor do I care, because it's not that. It's her look.
Right.
She's got the short hair that is... Not like pixie like almost, but
got
like
it.
like a 50s FBI agent,
cool.
You know, that kind of severe,
uh-oh.
You know, and she really short, always cropped,
yeah.
And see a haircut like that requires a cut every 4 weeks.
No, I bet even sooner than that
because it's flawless. Her hair is always perfect for her look.
Yeah,
and she's got black trousers and a black button-down top without a collar and long sleeves, and she wears a bow tie.
Yeah.
And this is her look. Now,
day in, day out.
Day in, day out.
And that's not the bank uniform.
And the bank uniform.
No.
Now, it's interesting because I'm going to stare at her for a split second or two Because
and enjoy
she
it.
She stands out in the midst of pajama pants and slippers.
And slippers. You know, and slippers.
Yes.
Which is what that's our Walmart.
That's the Walmart.
That's our Walmart uniform.
Yes, exactly. You know, because and that's just how we all do it here in the Midwest, I guess. You know, but.
At least in Dixon, Illinois.
You know,
wear your pajamas to Walmart.
So if I saw a guy coming into Walmart with a cowboy hat, wearing boots, and like. Not just farmers, because a farmer has a different look.
We see
that all the time.
Yeah.
If I see a cowboy coming in.
I want some sparklies.
I'm going to be looking.
Or some embroidery that says like some kind of
right. There's a woman that goes to Walmart too that I'm in her cycle. You know, you see the same people over and over again because you're on
your
schedules.
Yeah.
And she's about 6 feet tall. But she always comes into the tens, you know. Or the nines or whatever, but she's got the high heels on. She looks very professional, and she comes in with another woman looks very much like her as well, also very tall, but they look the same, and they look like they have a look, and they rock their look all the time, and so in a field of Walmart, you know,
In a field of vanilla,
yes,
they're double fudge mint cashew.
I'm looking.
I don't know,
and I'm not judging, except
no.
Like, hey, you're
enjoyable.
Rocking your look.
Yeah,
you're rocking your look.
Yeah,
that you know, the girl at the bank was rocking the look.
Yeah,
you know, this girl on the show is rocking the look.
So today, when you leave to get in your 18-wheeler to go to La Crosse, Wisconsin,
yes,
what's the look you're going to rock today?
The look I'm wearing right now, actually.
Oh, is it?
Yes. Black on black.
Yeah, black on black.
Yes.
In morning.
Comfy. Black on black, comfy, comfortable. Yeah. I have a bag full of other clothes to wear because I'll be...
You will be peeing a lot.
And spending the night. And so...
Yeah.
And...
I feel like you're peeing a lot because sometimes you miss.
Exactly. Exactly. Thank you for bringing that up. And I will not... I like to fade into the... background.
Yes.
And to the point where I'm like, I should put on my reflective vest here because I am walking around semis in black on black. If I get hit, it should be on me. You know, it's on me and not on them and so forth. So girlfriend, how was the show today?
You know what? It was like a marshmallow because it was s'more fun.
Yeah, it was
and it
fun.
Was great.
It was great. It was great. It was great.